Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Yankees get swept by the Boston Red Sox. And yet, strange as it seems, the Yankees, it feels like the Yankees are having a better Sunday night than the Red Sox fans are. I'm just reading some of the messages. It's always fun on a night like this to go to message boards and read fan comments. To talk about the Red Sox and their big trade and also the Yankees and, of course, the sweep and what's going on, all of it, we bring in Max Goodman from NJ.com, The Ledger. Max covers the Yankees, does a great job. Max, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well. I figured I'd have you on first, and then I'd read this out because it's make me laugh. But so here's a comment from a Reds fan saying, "Hell yeah, trade him away for a Gatorade that Big Poppy once looked at." Like, there's a whole bunch of lists of unhappy Red Sox fans that are thinking that the return on this trade was underwhelming. From what you're hearing, I'm hearing certain things. I'm texting friends of mine who cover the Red Sox. But your sense around it and what's coming out about this trade, give me your impressions of both the trade itself and what the Red Sox got for Rafael Devers.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's kind of reminiscent to me of the Luka Doncic trade a little bit, just in terms of how long I spent scrolling through Twitter and the texting and the disbelief. It really was a shocker, right? And there's a chance that this is the biggest trade of the season, and we still have a month and a half to go until the trade deadline. Like, we left Fenway Park this afternoon after the Yankees lost their third in a row to finish off the sweep, and there wasn't an inkling in my mind that that would have been the last game that Devers would be playing in a Red Sox uniform. That his home run off Max Fried, a big insurance run for Boston in that game, would have been his last homer in that uniform. So there's a lot to it with that trade, right? I mean, the Giants taking on the money is certainly helpful. The return didn't necessarily blow me away. I mean, I know Jordan Hicks. We've seen him pitch in the big leagues for a long time. I don't know too much about the younger arms that the Red Sox are getting. I suppose that it helps with the depth, and you never know with the prospects, but man, just thinking back to the Mookie Betts trade, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Red Sox better know what they're doing here, because if it doesn't work out, I feel bad for Red Sox fans. Like, this is another situation where a superstar, face of the franchise type player was moved and did they get enough back? It's too early to tell this time. Maybe it'll age differently, but it certainly doesn't seem that way right now with how fans have been reacting.
And what does it mean from a Yankees perspective? So for our Yankee fans who obviously are upset, annoyed, angry, frustrated that the Yankees got swept by the Red Sox, and this coming after losing the series a week ago, and it felt like the Yankees were the get-right team for the Red Sox that helped propel them back into the playoff hunt, the postseason hunt, and yet they turned around and traded the guy who is the active home run leader against the Yankees.
Right. You bring up a good point there, and that's another part of my reaction to it, is just how interesting the timing is. Like, why now? Obviously, we all know about the dysfunction there in terms of how Devers was reacting to the position change, and clearly there was a lot going on behind the scenes, but did the Red Sox shop him around? Doesn't sound like they did. Could they have gotten more elsewhere if they waited, or like you said, the vibes were so high for that team right after sweeping the Yankees, taking 5 of 6 in a span of just over a week, two weekends in a row. And all of a sudden that team is so different. I mean, they just traded their best hitter, a top 10 hitter in all of baseball, for a couple arms. So obviously there's a lot to it, and you can go through both sides, but just the optics of that. And from a Yankee perspective, you hinted at it there. I mean, he has raked against the Yankees throughout his entire career. Ever since he first got called up, he hit that home run off of Aroldis Chapman when he was still a newbie in baseball, has so many huge home runs against Gerrit Cole over the years. Overall, Devers is hitting .270 against the Yankees in 119 games with those 31 homers, 78 RBI, 79 runs scored. I mean, that's considered a good season for a player, and he's done that in 119 games against a division rival. All of those games are also high profile, so he's rising to the occasion in a big spot. I think he's going to be a great fit for San Francisco. I mean, I do wonder how his bat will play in that ballpark because of, you know, just how spacious it is. But there have been some other lefty sluggers that have had success out there, Barry Bonds. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how he does. And maybe that team is more legit now. I mean, that division is loaded with talent.
Yeah, if I'm, I don't know, a Padres fan, I'm not happy about that. Is you're trying to, you're hoping your team's going to get to the postseason, and suddenly the Giants, who have pitching but are looking for offense, are more formidable. And the other thing that's interesting, I think, from a Giants perspective, is that we all know whether it was trying to get Aaron Judge and thinking they, you know, maybe they had him, or being interested in other free agents, and they kept getting shut out, it felt like, from the top hitters. And here's a way to get one of the top 10, you know, you can make the case, this is one of the top 10 hitters in baseball, and you're getting that kind of player now on a long-term commitment deal. And so the kind of player they couldn't get to choose them in free agency, they're now trading for.
And I'd imagine a San Francisco Giant fan getting that notification and seeing that trade was probably ecstatic. I mean, Kyle Harrison is the big name in that deal, and he's a, you know, a prospect that's now on the verge of being a real big league starter. It sounds like he's going to AAA for the Red Sox, which is another point to it. And Hicks has been a big leaguer for a while, but in that sense, the Giants didn't really give away that much. I think it was also a first round pick from this past year's draft,
and
fans don't really think that far into the future necessarily. So, you know, just thinking of it from a Yankees perspective, like, what would it have taken for the Yankees to get Devers? Not that that trade would have ever actually happened between those two teams, but you got to believe it would have been top prospects or, you know, big names in the big league rotation, that kind of stuff. And here the Giants, just out of nowhere on June 15th, suddenly just added a middle of the order bat. It was a perennial all-star MVP caliber hitter. And, you know, where is he going to play? I guess he'll be at DH. But, again, that division is going to be tough to win. But with the expanded playoffs and the wild card spots, that could be four teams coming out of that division making the playoffs.
Yeah, by next season, beginning of next season, they'll probably have coaxed him into playing first base. And but I also agree with you, whether it was, you're right, you mentioned the Yankees, I think with the Mets and a number of other teams potentially have given up more if he was shopped more broadly. But this is where they ended up. All right, so let's focus on the Yankees get swept. And look, it feels like for Yankee fans, a little bit of the sky is falling anytime you get swept by the Red Sox. It doesn't feel good. But, you know, big picture, there, it's a 162-game season. It's 6 months. We're not going to go crazy. But I still do think that I'm curious what you think. But I look at the, you know, what is it, 8-11 record now within the division. Like, if you scratch away beneath the surface and look at some of the teams the Yankees have lost to or where they have not played as well, are there some issues here, underlying issues, that if the Yankees want, hope, expect to be a World Series contender, that there are some fundamental issues with this team?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, I definitely think that the 8-11 record against the rest of the division, which is the worst of any of the five AL East teams, that's definitely an important trend to keep an eye on. I mean, you play those teams the most out of any club over the course of the entire season, and this is a loaded division. I mean, it hasn't been as good as many expected coming into this year, but they're all postseason caliber teams. I mean, even the Orioles with the expanded playoffs could still be a postseason club if they happen to turn it around. I think they're only five or so games out of the last wild card spot right now, as much as it's like 15 in the division. So they got to play better against those teams if they want to maintain their spot in first place throughout this summer and maybe add some distance to that, you know, cushion over the Rays, who are suddenly surging. They just swept the Mets at Citi Field this weekend. So overall, I mean, they've played really well this season, right? And like you said, it's a long year, and it didn't sound like anybody in the Yankees clubhouse was particularly concerned. It was just a situation where they got outplayed, and that's the reason why teams don't win 120, 130 games a year. Like, even the best clubs will get swept every once in a while. I know that fans out there watching those three games were obviously very discouraged, and I think there are some flaws that were flashed in there in terms of timely hitting, runners in scoring position. You can't really blame the pitching staff too much, though. It was Mm-hmm. If I'm pointing fingers, I'm pointing it at the offense and the fact that they didn't score as many runs as they needed to. And with how well Aaron Judge has played all year long, it's an anomaly. It's very uncharacteristic for him to be 1-for-12 with 9 strikeouts and the key double play in Sunday's loss today. So I would say it's more of a blip on the radar, but if this turns into a little bit of a spiral or a June swoon, if I may, then it starts to become more of a glaring issue.
Yeah, Aaron Judge obviously played really poorly in this season, in this series, and maybe for one of the few times this season did seem to, it was kind of fishing a little more for some pitches outside the strike zone and ended up then, you know, not taking his walks, striking out. And then, as you said, almost for him, a tentative swing today with the double play. But yes, he's having a historic season. So we put that aside. But overall, what does it say? You know, Judge struggled, but between the last game against Kansas City, which they win 1-0, and then they managed to score 4 runs in 3 games, which I guess was historic, hadn't been done in, I don't know what, like 100 years or something, a long time, had not been done in a long time at Fenway Park. So if this is the fewest runs they've ever scored in a 3-game series at Fenway Park, are we concerned about that, you know, some of these other players are more kind of regression to the mean with the Yankee offense?
That goes back to the questions in spring training about, okay, Juan Soto is no longer in the picture. Who's going to step up around Aaron Judge? Because there are going to be games where he doesn't go 4-for-4 with 2-3 home runs. That's going to happen over the course of the year. I don't think anyone expected that he'd be hitting in the high 300s, let alone close to 400 this deep into the season. So on balance, overall, the supporting cast has done a really good job, and there have been flashes of brilliance from the mix of the veterans, the guys they brought in, Goldschmidt and Bellinger. Grisham's had a great year so far, and the youngsters too, Volpe, Rice, Wells, Dominguez, the list goes on and on. But like I was saying, that there are going to be situations where you just get outplayed. And I remember looking up the Red Sox rotation going into that series the previous weekend at Yankee Stadium, and I think they had a bottom 10 starting pitcher ERA, and that's a big reason why that team had been playing so poorly throughout the first couple months of the year. In these 3 games in Boston, Eric Crochet, Hunter Dobbins, and Brian Bayo, the 3 starters for the Red Sox, they gave up 1 earned run over 21 and a third innings with 18 strikeouts. I mean, that's just purely getting outmatched and dominated. And it was even the Yankees' best player, Judge, had no answer for those guys until it was Crochet in the 9th inning, and that was a majestic home run and timely and clutch, and it was what Judge does best, making an adjustment against a really good pitcher. But the other 2 guys after that kept him down, and nobody else was able to step up. I mean, Max Fried giving up only 2 runs as your stopper coming off a loss, that should be good enough to give you a win, but they just got shut down by the other guy.
Yeah, one of them was a bloop. That first run is like a bloop hit before the Devers home run. So certainly Max Fried, once again, was terrific. One thing, obviously, that will help the offense is that Giancarlo Stanton is coming back. I saw reports today, whether it was going to be on Monday or Tuesday. Do you know the latest? Will he be back on Monday or Tuesday?
Well, my guess is that it's going to be Monday, just because the last we heard from Aaron Boone was that Stanton was in, was working out at Yankee Stadium on Sunday. He didn't play in a final rehab game on Saturday because of weather with AA Somerset. And he was working out, getting at bats with, as Boone put it, the Angels pitching staff was logged in on the traject machine, the pitching machine that they use underground in the batting cage. And that's the team that's coming in starting on Monday. So since he didn't play in a game on Saturday or Sunday, it's not like he needs another day off necessarily to get ready. But it's either Monday or Tuesday was what we heard from Boone. So if they want to bring in a boost after the way that series just went, then yeah, fire him up and bring him back from the IL. I'm assuming that Pablo Reyes will be the corresponding move, unless Yankees change course or someone needs to be a corresponding move on the IL too, which we don't necessarily see coming. But getting Stanton back, the Yankees are at their best when he is healthy and producing in the middle of their order. I'm not quite sure how Aaron Boone's going to have the lineup look on a day-to-day basis with the surplus of talent that they have, but that's a good problem to have, and having good players is a good thing. That's what he said to us this afternoon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So obviously we'll assume, you know, on most days Goldschmidt's going to play first base. That means Ben Rice, who played first today, probably they'll find some chances to get him in there, but most days Stanton then going to DH. And how would you design the lineup? Would Stanton be in that position giving protection to Judge, or would you break up the lefties, let's say, in Bellinger and Chisholm and put Stanton in between there?
I think it depends on the pitching matchup, but I guess if you're facing a lefty with traditional splits, then maybe Boone would be comfortable having Stanton right behind Judge. I'd also imagine that they'll want to ease him back in, right? So, you know, depending on who they're facing that day, maybe it's Judge, Bellinger, then Stanton, then Chisholm, I suppose, in the middle of the order. And, you know, like you alluded to there, Stanton's not going to play every single game once he does come back, whether it's tomorrow or Tuesday. He's going to need to get reacclimated here. He hasn't played in games really all season other than those three or four in Somerset. He didn't have a spring training at all. So they're going to keep a close eye on him, make sure that he's healthy, staying healthy, because it's a long season. You don't want him to have any sort of setback right away. And like I was saying, there is a surplus here. So when they're facing a really tough right-handed pitcher, I'd imagine that Ben Rice will be at DH on that day. And Boone can go back and forth. And the best way to put it is I think it's six guys for four spots. And that would be Judge, Stanton, Bellinger, Grisham, Dominguez, and Rice. And it's obviously Judge is going to be there every single day. So unless he's getting a day off, and it does come down to matchups. You know that Boone likes to alternate with the lefty-righty situation. So I just think we'll see different lineups basically on a daily basis. And he'll have to figure out how he's going to ride the hot hand, go with who has the better metrics and maybe track record against a certain pitcher, and go from there.
Max, one of my listeners wanted an update on Luis Gil and what you thought in terms of, one, what's the latest timing on when he'll be back? And two, my listener is wondering, when he does come back, are you expecting the same, you know, same velocity, same stuff, all of that? Obviously, they'll wait and give him that sort of time, so he will be the same Luis Gil that we saw last season.
Sure. That's still more of a long-term solution for the Yankees in terms of when they're going to get Gil back. He had the high-grade lat strain in spring training. The last we heard from Boone was that he's still just about 2 weeks, if not a little less than that, away from facing hitters. That's obviously a huge step. You know, he's still starting to throw off the mound and raise up the intensity, but he's got to start to face batters and then eventually go on a rehab assignment. So could he be back maybe at the All-Star break? I'd imagine that they'll take it really slow with him, though, and probably, I think we're looking at closer to August, if not mid to late July. That's a guess from me there, but we do know that he's on pace to start pitching in a game-like environment, facing hitters in now, I'd say, a week and a half, maybe closer to a week. And, you know, that's encouraging that he's making all the right progress, and it always was going to be several months for him missing time, but it may end up being an internal trade acquisition, which is something that Brian Cashman will often say when he gets guys back from the IL. You know, I still think that they would benefit from looking at the starting pitching market when the deadline does come in a month and a half, but getting Gil back, if he's anything like he was last year, then that's a huge boost. And I think with time, he'll be able to get back to that same level of, you know, reaching the triple digit with his fastball and the electricity of his stuff. Cause it wasn't an arm injury. You know, he just needs to get back into the rhythm of things once he's back from the IL.
All right. Last one before I let you go. against the Red Sox, this series felt like it showed some of the same flaws that the Dodgers accused the Yankees of in last year's World Series. Whether that was Anthony Volpe, you know, commits his eighth error of the season, bad base running where you give away outs on the bases, Jason Dominguez, Ben Rice today, and sometimes a disconnect, whether it's outfielders, infielders, throwing, you know, where is the ball coming into and allowing, therefore, a runner to take an extra base. Some of that just feels that looseness about the Yankees. Is this just, you know, I know every time something happens, Aaron Boone says, you know, there's a sense, oh, Jason Dominguez, he's a young player, he's going to learn from this, it won't happen again, all that sort of stuff. But is it just feels like there is a pattern that this does show under pressure situations in big games from this team?
Well, I think watching them pretty much on a daily basis all year, that they have been much better in those different facets of the game that you mentioned. And I know that was a huge story of the offseason, you know, them improving on defense, making fewer mistakes, and playing cleaner, more athletic baseball. And I think that overall they have been doing that this season. In terms of what Boone will say post-game, he's a player's manager, so he's not going to go out there and rip his guy with the YES Network camera in his face post-game. You know, sometimes he will acknowledge that somebody did make a bonehead mistake or a costly blunder on the bases like he did the other day. But he's not going to go out there and say what fans necessarily want him to say, which, you know, I see that on Twitter all the time. But overall, I do think that this team is a lot better than the stuff that doomed them against the Dodgers last year. And we've seen that with all of the names I was rattling off earlier. Overall, the offense has been so much better, showing different sides in terms of the speed and the athleticism and getting the job done in different ways. But the optics of having all of this happen in a span of 3 days against the Red Sox, when they didn't take care of business against Boston back in the Bronx the previous weekend, I totally understand why fans are, you know, the alarms are going off in their head and they're having the PTSD about what happened last fall. So if it starts to continue, like I said a while back, I think then we can start to, you know, consider this more of a concern in terms of the trends and stuff to watch this season. But I mean, look at their record, look at their place in the standings. The Yankees are in a great spot midway through June. They've done a lot of great things so far. And if they can continue to play good baseball, they'll be in great shape going into October. They just got to iron out a couple of those mistakes. And it happens over the course of the year. I know that's not a fun or sexy way of putting it, but that's really the case.
All right, Max Goodman does a great job covering the Yankees. You should be following him, NJ.com, or on social media. Max, appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks so much.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.